The reading this morning is from the book of Luke, chapter 3, and can be found in your pew Bible on page 834. And it's a split reading. It starts with verses 15 to 17 and then goes to 21, verses 21 and 22. As the people were filled with expectation, and all were questioning in their hearts concerning John, whether he might be the Messiah, John answered all of them by saying, "I baptize you with water. But one who is more powerful than I is coming. I am not worthy to untie the thong of his sandal. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his granary. But the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire." The baptism of Jesus. Now, when all the people were baptized, and when Jesus had also been baptized and was praying, the heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended upon him in bodily form like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased." This is the word of the Lord.
This morning we have the privilege of having Reverend Dr. Canon Howard Mailer with us. He is, you might know him from the Walk to Emmaus community. You might know him because he was minister over at the Mennonite, at the Methodist Church. Mennonite, Methodist, I'm sorry. We're all one in Christ, right? So over at the Methodist Church, he is from the UK. He has served different churches, as well as in theological education. And so it's a privilege for us to have you with us this morning. He is doing some teaching in Cambodia and has been here for a few months. And so we got wind that he was here. And so we're glad to have you come and share God's word with us at Union. So let's welcome.
Okay, thank you for your welcome, and it's good to be with you. One of Mr. Wesley's preachers to bring the word of the Lord here today. Let's pray. O Lord, grant to us listening ears, open hearts and minds, to hear your word and the power and determination to do it. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. God is good. You're not very sure, are you? God is good. That's a lot better. Indeed, it's really important that we understand that. Otherwise, the rest of the gospel record does not make sense. One of my favorite books to read at Christmas is Charles Dickens' A Christmas Carol, right? And you may remember, if you've read it at all, how it starts. The first paragraph begins and ends in this way. Marley was dead. There is no doubt whatever about that. Old Marley was as dead as a doornail, right? And then he goes on to discuss why it is that a doornail should be the deadest thing. Why not a coffin nail, for instance? If we don't understand that Marley is dead, then we do not understand the rest of the story of A Christmas Carol. Similarly, if we do not understand that God is good, then we do not understand the narrative in the Gospels. There is a form of Christianity. There are books. You can go on YouTube and find that people speak about the way that God is good in such a way that everything is going to be all right. Everything will be peaches and cream, hunky-dory. Your professional life, your home life, your aspirations, they're going to be great. God is on your side. Everything will be good. But that's not how the gospel record goes. That's not how Christian experience and discipleship history goes. Sometimes we walk through fire. Sometimes we find ourselves in the dark valley. Sometimes things are tough. Well, I was hearing from China only this week, a Christian church there, talking about the new instructions from Beijing, from Xi Jinping and co. No one under 18 allowed on religious premises. They talk about it as a tightening. And then say, we survived the communist revolution. We survived the cultural revolution. We can survive this. Things can be tough. But God walks with us in those tough moments. This passage tells us how good God is. God is so good that God is going to baptizo. He is going to drench you. He's going to plunge you in Holy Spirit and with fire. Now, let's just note something, that whatever your English Bibles tell you, there is no definite article before Holy Spirit. Not the Holy Spirit, as though somehow Jesus is a door-to-door salesman with a product, the Holy Spirit. No, it is Holy Spirit. God in Christ comes to live and die and rise, and with the Father to send. Holy Spirit. And fire. That's the message of John the Baptizer. That's what he wants those people to know. Incidentally, you may know if you've read anything around Luke or Matthew that John the Baptizer had a very interesting wardrobe and a very curious diet. And maybe you're thinking at the start of a new year, do you know, I just need to live a simpler life. I need a simpler diet. Well, I mean, camel's hair coat and locusts and honey, they might just fit the bill. I heard about a church this week have decided to go on a Daniel diet. Well, maybe we should suggest to them we go on a John the Baptist diet. But he will plunge you. He will immerse you. He will drench you with Holy Spirit. What does John the Baptizer mean by this? We know from the rest of the biblical record that actually Holy Spirit is a powerful presence of God. God, Holy Spirit, the one who equips us for ministry, the one who enables us to discover that we have a gift in ministry. Every Christian person has at least one gift to use in the church and in the world. No one is left out. No one can hide behind the door or the pillar. Actually, everyone has that gift. And Holy Spirit enables us not only to discover that gift as we talk with others, as we pray, as we read the scriptures, and we discover what our gifting is, actually enables us to use that in an appropriate way in the life of the church. Take a lesson from John the Baptizer. the people around him say, "Oh, you're such a good preacher. You must be the Messiah." He says, "No, I'm not. In fact, I'm not worthy to tie the lace on his sandal." A statement of humility. A statement of acknowledging that actually God in Christ is going to come and is going to change human history. John speaks of the one who brings Holy Spirit. And we too, as we use our gift in the life of the church, we need to have that humble attitude to serve. We're not given a gift to polish it, you know. Look at my gift. Isn't that great? No. We're given a gift by God that actually we might be able to serve in the life of the church and to serve others. Holy Spirit equips us, enables, and entrusts leadership in the life of the church. It's a salutary thing to be entrusted with leadership amongst God's people. Many of you here have that leadership in one form or another. And actually, we grow in Christian discipleship as we receive that leadership and as we exercise that leadership. But we need to use it with humility and care. You know, one of the finest books about church life that's ever been written was written by Dietrich Bonhoeffer. His little book, Life Together. The kind of book that's easily read and maybe ought to be read every year, and certainly by Christian leaders, because it tells us the importance of service in the life of the people of God. There are those amongst us who are entrusted with leadership. Hold it as precious. Use it to serve. Approach it with humility. The Holy Spirit equips us and enables, entrusts us with leadership, but also empowers us. Empowers us in witness, empowers us in service, empowers us as Christian people, individually and together, to be the church in the world. Wow, it's stunning that all those people live in the Asia-Pacific area. 92% of them are not Christian, is that what you said? It's a bit like England, actually. And yet what's fascinating is that the Christian church in China has grown by more than 7% per annum since 1980, according to published works in the United States that show significant evidence. That is fantastic. I wish the church in England, not necessarily just the church of England, but the church in England was growing at 7% per annum. I wish it was growing here in Hong Kong at 7% per annum. And what's fascinating is it could be. It could do. How? Because we become the empowered people of God, living and sharing the good news of Christ with those around us, in our home situation, in our work situation, in our leisure situation. The testimony that we had from Jeff earlier suggested that actually there was a time when he came on a Sunday and then lived his life and came on a Sunday and lived his life. But actually, discipleship is 7 days a week, 24-hour a day. As we live and move and breathe, the Holy Spirit empowering us to be God's people. So God is really good because he wants to change you. He wants to change me. God is so good that he sends Holy Spirit to transform our lives. And that involves change. You heard earlier, I'm a Methodist. Don't hold it against me. How many Methodists does it take to change a light bulb? What? Change? Well, we find it difficult. We do. All of us. But Holy Spirit comes to change, to transform, to disturb, actually, our thinking, our ideas. And there are some things that need to be disturbed. There are some things that need to be changed. As we come over the year into a new year, there are some things about which we wish we hadn't been part of, we wish we hadn't done. There are some things of which we're ashamed. There are some things about which we need to repent. There are some people with whom we need to be reconciled. There are some priorities that need to change. Holy Spirit comes, actually, to enable that process. Holy Spirit is our friend here. God is good. We have a power at work within us to enable that process to happen, that we might be, in truth, the people of God. But there are some good things, really, really good things, that need to be sharpened and honed, encouraged and strengthened. Holy Spirit does that too. And God, Holy Spirit, comes and nudges us, shakes us out of our complacency, and says, actually, at a time between senior pastors, I know you've got one, but between permanent senior pastors, actually, maybe you need to step up. Maybe God is calling you, nudging you, prompting you. There are some things that now need to be done, and you can do it. Don't say to me you haven't got time. Don't say to me you're not worthy. We know both of those things. But if God is really prompting you, maybe today you should test that out. Is there a way that I can serve? That's a question. That's how good God is, that he wants to change you and me and transform our lives. Moreover, God is baptizing us, drenching us in fire. Now, some of the texts speak about judgment here, and there is an element of that, but it's more a refining fire. I used to live in the city or near the city of Sheffield for 21 years. And Sheffield, England. And that is the place where it was renowned for its steel making, its cutlery. And what happened was they discovered that if you put the molten, the rock into a crucible and heated it to hundreds of degrees Celsius, then actually it became molten. And what happened was that all the impurities rose to the top, and you could skim them off. So that when you go into these huge factories and these massive vats or crucibles that are, I don't know, 10, 20 feet across. And it's burningly hot. And it's spitting with bits of steel. You've got to be really careful. And then they pour it. They skim all the impurities like a dross, like a scum. And they pour the pure metal into ingots that are either then hammered or rolled into whatever it is to be. God comes to you and to me as a refining fire. Purify my heart. Let me be as gold, pure gold, a pure metal. God is so good that he wants to do that for you and for me. Now, the published title that's on your order sheet for this service of my sermon is about the Father's heart. And there are those books, and you can go on YouTube and find people who talk about the Father's heart as though it was a cushion, as though this was a feather bed. But the Father's heart is actually God in Christ comes and gives his life and his ministry, and through his death and resurrection and ascension is able to send Holy Spirit that we might know him, that we might be empowered, that we might be equipped, that we might be entrusted with leadership, that we might be enabled to be the people of God. And as we go into we're in the new year, but also for you at Union, if I may say, for us at Union, as I'm with you today, it's not just a new page we turn. It's a new chapter. And publishers of books that have good design, he says, make sure that the space, white space on the page between chapters. And you as a church, you have space on the page, as it were, between senior pastors. Why do publishers put space on the page? So that people just have a moment to reflect on what they've read, to prepare for what is coming next. And we have space. Space now to reflect on what has been, to begin to plan for what will be, to consider what changes there need to be made. How does God transform us as a community? So now is the time. And your meeting on the 27th of January will be part of that process. There'll be more to come, I'm sure. I've walked with, I don't know how many, churches and Christian organizations at a time of significant change. It's a process not so much to welcome, but actually to recognize and to engage with. In a way that we can say, as a result of this, we will be a better community of the people of God. Our life together, to quote Bonhoeffer, will be deeper, wider, more effective. In the Methodist tradition, this time of year is a time for what's called a covenant service. And the heart of that is a covenant prayer. It goes back nearly 300 years, in essence. Much renewed, reduced and modernized now, but it starts, I am no longer my own, but yours. Put me to what you will. That's the kind of prayer we need to be praying. That's the kind of attitude we need to be having. That's the kind of welcome that we need to be giving to the Word of God, to the Holy Spirit, to the refining fire. God is good. God is so good that He is sending Holy Spirit and fire that we might be better able to be the people of God in this place. Let us pray. Dear God, our Father, we thank You that it is in Your heart and Your intention that we should be Your people. Come to us, therefore, by the power of Holy Spirit. Refine us, change us, transform us, that we individually and together might be Your people in this place, delighting in Your name, sharing the good news, caring for the community, struggling for justice. For we ask it in the name of Christ and for His sake and glory.